Good afternoon. Welcome to Romancing the Screen. My name is Annie Spong, and today we would like to welcome actress Louise Barnes-Berain. She was in Black Sails, for those of you who have seen it. For those of you who haven't, it releases on Netflix April 17th. Fun, spicy, and this is prior to the role of intimacy coordinators being active in the entertainment business. And to hear her perspective, her vulnerability, authenticity about that experience, the role she perceives it to be, and how it could be supportive and helpful to all cast, crew, actors, is really beautiful to hear it unfold. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Romancing the Screen, bearing it all with intimacy coordinators, actors, and crew. I'm Catherine O'Keefe.
And I'm Annie Spong.
And we are here today with the fabulous Louise Barnes. Unfortunately, Rachel couldn't make it today because she is on set, but we are so excited to be here with you.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's just jump right in. Yeah. Intimacy coordinating, nudity, simulated sex.
Yeah.
Oh my. How does that relate to the work you've done? And how would you imagine it to be if you could have it any way you want it? Since you've tried it.
Yeah, I've only tried it the one way, which is without intimacy coordinator. And to be honest, I wasn't really sure what an intimacy coordinator would bring to the whole exercise. Because the sex scenes that I did that were radical, that would have involved an intimacy coordinator, I felt very safe on set. I felt very held by the director, by the DP, by the creators of the show. I knew that the scenes were meant to be there. They were about furthering the story. There was nothing in it that felt gratuitous to me. But as I've kind of dug a little bit deeper into what you do, I also listened to Emma Stone's interview with Terry Gross. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly realized that it's kind of crazy that they haven't existed before, because in an intimate scene, in a sex scene, you kind of making it up as you go along, and it's not only intimate in the sense that you're naked and everyone else has got clothes on, but you're also exposing an incredibly private part of yourself because you're being asked to simulate sex, and so you're gonna do it the way you do it. So you feel like everyone is watching you have sex, or what you would sound like when you have sex. So that part of it, it would have been really great to have someone who could say, okay, so this is what we can do. Let's get creative. So people do this and people do that. And this is the menu that you could choose from to help you build a character. Mm-hmm. You're not just relying on your own resources when it comes to the sex that you've had. So it kind of, when you think about it that way, it's a no-brainer. Why has it taken us so long? Just from a creative perspective, that there should be someone there who goes, okay, so let's talk about what your options are. It's kind of a whole another world that you can explore of your character, whole another aspect of who your character is, how they express themselves.
What a brilliant way to break it down from coming from a space of not having and then imagining, you know, and hearing from someone else's experience what that container looks like to have.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of creativity, in terms of exploration of character, you know, and creating, we've talked about this before, like part of our job with actors is to create a consent box that is the widest guidelines for where your consent is.
Yeah.
And within that, matching with another actor, where are the parameters that we can work? You know, what's the depth and the breadth and the latitude of this work? So we can paint a picture that works for this character, not necessarily solely draw on my personal experience of my sexuality.
And also to do that, I'm assuming you do that before filming starts.
Absolutely.
Because when you're on the set, when you're in the moment, you may, as an actor, either feel pressured somewhat or taken away by how good it all feels and everyone's working together and feels so creative. Yeah. There are a number of things that could make you step outside of that box. Whereas you've made a sober decision when you've defined that box. Just to sort of segue slightly, as I'm an adoptive parent, and before we adopted, the social worker said, okay, so what are you wanting from this experience of adoption? Like, what are you, because once you meet a child and you fall in love with them, you may decide, doesn't matter. And then you're not making sober decisions with all your, with your thinking in place. And I think the exact same thing can happen on set. So even if it isn't an actor saying, oh yeah, no, let's just do that. It doesn't matter that I said I wouldn't do it. There's someone there to remind them to say, okay, just, that's cool if you feel like it'll work, but just this, these, we spoke about this and this is what you said you weren't that keen on. But more than that, that you can feel pressure. And I think that's what actresses, I think more than actors, feel from the beginning, from the audition. I mean, I've had to stand, and before I'm even allowed to do the scene, I have to say on camera, I am prepared for full frontal nudity and backhaul and simulated sex and everything. You know, like, you have to say that.
That's such a great, great piece of just recall of, and we have such a similarity with the adoptive parent piece in terms of consent. That consent happened long before I adopted this child. The parameters of it, what it might look like, the conditions that I was okay with, etc. And that is very similar to what we do as intimacy coordinators. Long before you land on set to do the scene, we have gotten together independently and also typically with your scene partner. If there's not a Zoom or a audio version of that, there's a rehearsal version of that where we are talking about what those consent boxes are for each of you. And so that each of you are clear about where the parameters are to create and play and block this scene together and what feels right. And that is such a good piece of information. And not only that, but recognizing that we do get caught up in the heat of the moment and we do be like, you know, no, I'm okay with it. And that's one of the reasons for nudity writers and simulated sex writers is that they need to be amended. If we're going to make a big change from what was agreed upon, we can do that, but it's going to take a couple hours.
Yeah. And it's not going to happen on set in the moment with your clothes off.
Correct. We're going to talk to your agent. We're going to talk to the legal team. And is this the road we want to go down? No problem. If we've had a change of direction, we can do that. But we were bringing to light that this is a mindful choice and a consensual choice, not like, oh, it feels good. We're going with it. He's fine with it. The director thinks looks great. I think, you know, it's like all that carried awayness that happened in the work.
I will say, I think a huge change from the Black Sails to now is in 2020, SAG made it mandatory that nudity writers have to be given to actors 48 hours ahead of time, and directors can't ask for changes on their side after that. And I think that is something, you know, that can cause, it does mean you really have to be on it and make sure these conversations are happening early enough. But I do think that is a huge change that directors can't just anymore be like, actually, I know we talked about doing the same this way. Let's do something completely different. Because when I first started intimacy coordinating and when Annie did, that still happened. Like, we would talk about a scene, we would have a full scene planned out, and directors would be like, let's toss it, let's do something else. And I would say it has made our jobs, and I think actors, much more confident in that, like, no, a director has to commit to a scene and how they want to do it before we get to it.
Yeah, I mean, 48 hours, even 48 hours is like close to it, right? It's really close to shooting that scene if there's a conflict.
Yeah.
I knew when I got that script and I saw what I'd have to do, and that was like 3 weeks before.
Yeah.
I was already like, okay. And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So to know how it was going to be shot, how it was going to be handled, to know that there was someone who was going to be there and was going to be on my side and be that buffer between me and the powers that be, Yeah, that's, I would say that's a huge help.
To have that advocacy in place that, you know, I'm going to be reading your energy in the space. We are going to have a conversation probably 2 weeks out if we have that prior to this, so we can actually figure out, okay, what do we need to make this work?
Yeah.
And because you are going to have those moments of like, fuck, did I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And like, how are we going to do this? And what if I don't like my scene partner? And what if he stinks? And like all that. So who's going to have these conversations about this?
I do feel the number one request I get that is almost impossible to do in the way people want is someone is an actor telling me like my scene partner didn't brush their teeth. He's got bad breath. I need you to tell him that, but not sound like it came from me. I got that request so many times. I've actually just started bringing disposable toothbrushes and toothpaste to set. And I think
this is managed
on actor's chance just to be like, okay, you know, just making sure you have one in case you drink coffee between takes.
You just say, this is what we do.
Yeah.
We do before, just like you would bath yourself, shower yourself before you go to a wardrobe fitting.
Yeah.
This is what you're doing. You're going to be
being involved.
You have to brush your teeth. They're the birth mitts. Like, it's not. You know, there's no choice.
Right.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. This is the protocol.
Yeah.
Please brush your teeth before you come to set.
Yeah.
You are going to be kissing and sharing bodily fluids. And
yeah,
it's just.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Yes. It's about being mindful of the other people that we do.
But to have that, just to go back to that, speaking to having that advocate in the space that you know is your go-to.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to look to the showrunner or the writer or like, is this working? I'd be like, you know what? This isn't really working. Like, we got to find another way to block this, or they don't have the right chemistry. We need to take a moment. The actress is not comfortable. Give me a minute where I can go to the AD and say, we're going to need 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we can step off and be like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's not working? You know, just you can regroup. I say, sometimes it's just a matter of like taking some more breaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, wait a minute. I got a little lost here.
And I think also just the acknowledgement of an intimacy coordinator is an acknowledgement that what is being done, what you are asking actors to do, is difficult.
Yeah.
And it needs, like, just even that, because I feel, as I'm sort of touched on earlier, as an actress, you're constantly fighting against this idea that you're a diva, that you are difficult, that you are overly demanding. And so I find myself trying not to, like, really working against that, trying to just kind of, I don't want to cause too much of a fuss, and I want to, you know, and you want the job, right? So even from that audition phase, you kind of go, yeah, sure, I'll do that, with your fingers crossed behind your back, and then hope it never comes to that. I mean, in the audition with your fingers crossed. But I think that just purely from the management production side of things, if they're acknowledging that an intimacy coordinator is required and is important, that means there's some buy-in to this idea that actually you're asking actors to do something that's really sensitive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was very comfortable and I was made to feel very comfortable, and it was a closed set and they were just very pared down. I mean, even I was talking to my husband about this. Just the fact that, you know, they're going to zoom in while I'm, I mean, I don't know what kind of language you're using. Yes, I'm riding this guy like Seabiscuit. And the camera is zooming in, but I have to time my climax to when he gets to both our faces. So, like, so that's what an intimacy, I don't know why I can't get that out. Intimacy coordinator would be really helpful.
Yes.
To say, okay, guys, this is a little bit unreasonable, or
let's count it out.
Or, and they kind of did, but it's just, there's always going to be a deficit in power when you are naked and everyone else is clothed.
Yes.
Like, there's just, you can't help but feel vulnerable.
100%. 100%.
So, yeah, it's you used that word choreographed before. And that I think is so important.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That it's like, let's just break it down. This is what happens. That's what happens. And we do the moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do the moves like a dance. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, like, in that container of consent, we can decide, are we comfortable improving the choreography?
Yeah.
Or does one of us, or more than one of us, need the blocking broken down so we actually know what the dance moves are and how long the beats are in each motion.
Yeah. And I know things move fast on set, and often there isn't a lot of time to do those kind of things, but I think it's really important. It'll make the whole thing flow much faster, and everyone, and the product will just...
That's the other piece, is that we, as intimacy coordinators, ask for the rehearsal.
Yeah.
If it hasn't already been planned, I would make it a point to let the AD know going in weeks ahead of time, if I have the time, we are going to need a rehearsal and we may need to do this a day ahead. Can we arrange to have the actors here for that? Mm. We could do it independently. We can work with a director. However...
Yeah.
Best suits the production.
Yeah, because I mean, people have issues around sex. It's just one of those things. And I've had situations where I've had to try and figure out how to approach the person I'm going to be doing a scene with to say, like, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Can we, because they're uncomfortable, or because, you know, they're just uncomfortable. Don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, to piggyback off what Amy's saying, I do feel like the rehearsal ahead of time is so important. I find it to be very hard to get an in-person rehearsal ahead of time, but I usually can get productions to agree to what I call like a Zoom rehearsal, which is where we get everyone on a Zoom for sometimes just 20 minutes to just talk it out, because sometimes actors have really great ideas for these scenes because they know the character so well and they have an idea that they want to share. But if they don't get a chance to talk about it till 5 minutes before we film, that's so unfair to the other actor. Well, like, if you talk about it ahead of time, there's like that creative freedom to be like, oh, not that. Like, what about, you know, to like really bounce and build and feel like the scene is coming from a character place.
Yeah.
But in a way that doesn't push on another actor.
Yeah. No, I think a rehearsal is, it's also just something that's really, really important.
Yeah, well, because, you know, talking about the box, I do feel like I've worked with a lot of actors, as I'm sure of you, who are really lovely people, and they don't want to push up against someone's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to push up against someone's boundaries and you don't know what those boundaries are, you go small.
Yeah.
You go less.
Yeah.
You act from a place of fear.
Yeah.
That doesn't create good work ever.
No, absolutely. So having intimacy coordinators is a way of really kind of making this section of the whatever it is you're filming, this nonverbal communication, making it effective.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, meant to be there and not just gratuitous, it's about telling the story, you know, through how these people are intimate with each other. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, obviously doesn't have to be, the scene doesn't need to be an intimate experience, right? It can also, it's anything.
Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, what are your parameters for?
Well, that's such a good question, because that is another thing that we're bumping up against. And that one of the questions I sent to you, just in to be thoughtful, what is intimacy to actors, to you, and where is the intersection of intimacy and sex?
Yeah.
And where does it begin to actually draw on having an advocate in the space to help with the container? Maybe it's not just simulated sex and kissing and nudity. Maybe there is this, you know, because intimacy is such a big, broad stroke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky one. And I did think about it. And I mean, just on the most basic level, and I've done this earlier, not having clothes on and everyone else being clothed, that for me is like that's definitely a space in which it would be really great to have an advocate, someone who was there for me. I don't know. I mean, there are some really steamy, fantastic sex scenes that people have got all their clothes on.
Yeah.
So I think... And I asked myself, like, would I be uncomfortable in that scene? And I think anything that falls into that very private, I mean, it's so tricky with actors, right? Because you are showing all of yourself, you being a human being, you're trying to create a whole sort of character and all their facets. But I think anything that is beyond the just as you would have a psychologist on set, you know, if you'd have some kind of support for someone who was doing a role that was incredibly emotional, you know, dealing with trauma. Or I think that you need someone who understands and takes care of that aspect of our mm-hmm. lives, the sort of sexual or intimate or, I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. kind of where I would. And I guess it's also something you would pick up as you read something. You would go, you know, is this, this feels like it's like I would need the support of mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, and I don't know if you guys do this, but even if it's just the availability of that for a conversation prior to shooting, just so that everyone's on the same page, you know, yeah. to kind of discuss parameters, even if it's not someone on set on the day.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Like a consultant who comes in and just helps kind of break mm-hmm. it down. And,
yeah.
And ask the questions that yeah. happen. We're so shy to ask.
Yes. Yeah. Know who's yeah. forward with it.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Who's comfortable with this. Yeah, let's talk about yeah. this. Like, yeah. What feels vulnerable? What feels okay for you?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is your experience, but I have found so many shows I work on, the sex scenes or any intimate scenes, they're very underwritten. Like you can read it and be like, I have no picture of what is happening.
Absolutely.
Like absolutely none whatsoever. Like, and I think that is such an important part of having an intimacy coordinator for actors is that we make sure actors get that information and we make sure like costume designers get that information. This is something I find so crazy. But like before intimacy coordinators, no one sent nudity riders to the costumes department. Like that's crazy.
That's really crazy.
Who like decide what actors wear with actors? Like it was just such a pure but like lack of communication that was happening in these scenes instead of everyone working toward the same vision and actually having the correct information to achieve that.
Yeah. No, that thing about the scenes being underwritten is very real. I mean, and it makes you feel even more vulnerable because there is that sense of, well, you'll just do what you do. It's like, well, I'm just supposed to like do what I do, what we does. Like that's just, and if you want the scene, then write it and yeah. take responsibility for what it is that you yeah. want to see and what you expect actors to do.
Yeah. And that is something that where we step in, because if a scene is very underwritten, which yeah. it often is,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm having the conversation before I even meet with you or an actor, with the showrunner or the writer or the director, please, let's flesh this out. What does this look like? Where's the energy coming from? How long's the duration? Or is this implied nudity?
What's the tempo? That's always yeah. my number one question. Like, is this like, because I do think intimate scenes are a bit of a dance. So like, is this like a fast sort of horny scene where it's yeah. like a real kind of like staccato tempo?
Yeah.
Is it like slow and loving? Is it like, are we doing a lot of like an arm trailing gently?
Yeah.
You know,
what's the mood of yeah. what do you visually
what actors need to know to act the scene?
Yeah.
Like, I think you should never be allowed to write the sentence, they have sex, and have that be a full sex scene. Like, get out of here.
I go back to grad school, take a writing class.
That is, what is an actor supposed to do with that information?
Well, what kind of exercise, you know, by themselves, with someone else?
Oh my God. Or even the ones where they're just like, they go at it.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that so much is just open-ended. And there, we have all been on set when these things have not been fleshed out. And the actor thinks it's, oh, we just kissed. And someone else thinks it's full-on simulated sex. And you're like, yeah, there's a big missing yeah. with this.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I've had directors turn around and go, no, I wanted her to unbutton his pants and put her hands in his pants. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, because that does, you can't just tell us that now.
No, I mean, we were in it. I was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that today.
No. I see. That's, yeah. I mean, that's amazing to have someone there to do that. I remember doing a scene and the director was an sort of action guy. So he was doing the action stuff. And that's what he's really good at. That's he's yeah. not an actor's director. And suddenly he's having to choreograph or direct the scene where, I was sort of taking my clothes off and sort of seducing someone. And we were kind of on our own, you know, me and the other actor. could try and figure it out, because the director wasn't really, he sort of, he knows where he wants to shoot it from, and he kind of knows what it must sort of, not the specifics. I hope that I get cast in something where I can enjoy that, you know, that there's, I'm grateful that in the future, if there were to be a scene like that, there would be someone on set to look out for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how do you as an actor approach intimate scenes? So like even from like a character kind of choice, like how do you approach them? Like if you get a scene, what's kind of your thought process?
How much time have I got to lose weight? No. And that's terrible, right? I think I'm quite serious and candid with that, because I've changed now. I'm sort of got older and wiser, and but definitely as a young actress, there was that sense, because that's why they want it. They want it so that they want me to look a particular way, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be so exposed, and I need to look a certain way in order to feel confident. Which gets in the way of actually what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
But I think for so many projects, there wasn't necessarily a real need for the scene. I am very lucky though that the two most intense sex scenes that I have done, they were very well written, and I knew my character and I knew the other character, and it was very definitely part of the storyline, and so I could, you know, I could, it was easy for me to know how to play the scene.
Yeah.
Having said that, obviously there were still those insecurities around taking my clothes off. I would imagine, I would hope that what you do would all come into that as well, that you would be a safe space to express those sorts of fears. And even if it's just to have a space to express fears. But I mean, in terms of the process, I think it was difficult because it was very much me dealing with it on my own, as opposed to feeling like I could talk to the person I was doing it with if I knew who that person was even going to be, because often they're not someone you know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you don't want to seem like you're being difficult or precious or and sex is difficult even for people who are not being filmed.
100%.
So it was tricky. And there often was a sense of that it shouldn't be such a big deal, you know, and that you are given kudos for not making it a big deal.
Yeah.
For just being fine to like drop your clothes and put your stickies on, and if it was going to be, you know, a scene from behind or.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It was, and I think we have all seen how much there is of that pressure for actors to just be totally cool. Like, I think the sort of cool girl aspect of how actresses get treated, like, I think it's getting better. I don't think it is best yet.
Mm. Yeah. And we have all come across what, and you mentioned this before, where a director or a showrunner or somebody will say, well, they read the script or they knew going in that there was going to be nudity and simulated sex. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't give them enough information to actually consent to what's happening and how long this is happening and with who this is happening and how
with who it's happening as well, right?
Yes.
And you have no choice in that.
And the duration in which it's happening and, you know, the...
Who the AD is. Maybe the AD has been making passes at you and now you've got to do the scene and they like it's...
Yes. Yeah. All of that to have advocacy in place where you could say, I want to meet my scene partner 5 days, a week, whatever, before the scene so that we can navigate some communication and some, you know, consent and see if, what kind of chemistry we have and figure out, like, all of that is valid.
Yeah. And it's going to be better for the scene.
Yeah.
Stop you're wasting anyone's time.
We only add to what we're doing.
Yeah.
My experience has been the more we flesh this out with actors and starting with the writer, producer, director, the more information we can garner and the more steps we take to create this creative and sensual space, the better the product, 1,000 times over. And I've seen directors sort of light up going, wow. I'm like, yeah, it makes a difference when they know they're safe. And prior to intimacy coordinating and creating consent and creating the vision and fleshing out what we're doing prior to being naked on set creates safety. Doesn't mean you're not going to be uncomfortable, but creating a safety for what we're doing is huge. And that's our role.
I wanted to touch on something you just said about what if it's the AD? And I think that's like also a huge part of what we do. Like, I know a question I ask every actor is like, this is totally confidential. Is there someone in the cast or crew or creative team that's made you uncomfortable? Or you just want me to keep an eye on an intimate scene? And it is often when I have gotten yeses to that question, it is often just sort of like a random guy on the crew. Like, you know, I don't want to like name any specific departments, but like there have been departments where someone was like, can that guy just not be there? Yeah. But like, there's not a lot of other places to sort of lodge that, because if you make it a formal complaint, that's a huge deal. You get labeled difficult. And like, also maybe you don't want it to be like that guy where it's just like, this guy is creepy and weird and I don't want him around. And I do think that is something that then it can take a little doing, but you can make that happen by just being like, okay, you know what? Do we have like a woman in that department? You know, we're just going to make sure it's really locked down. Like, let's not have that department there at all today. And like, sometimes the intimacy coordinator gets looked at like you're crazy, but you can make that happen in a way that doesn't then blow back on the actor.
That's completely valid.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, changing the gender of the person that might be needed to be in the room, or is that department needed? Yeah. All of those things are really valid.
Because like sometimes there is the person who thinks they're helping by making jokes and they are not helping, you know.
I think we've all met that guy, you know, and that guy needs to not be around if we're filming.
Yeah. I don't need to know that it looked sexy for you. Thank you. Pass.
I one time I got a complaint actually about a female crew member who I think genuinely was trying to be helpful, but she was trying to hype up the actress too much. It was like, you look so good. You look so sexy. Like, I wish I looked like you. And it was just the actor. I went and talked to the actor and like, I did end up talking to that crew member because like, I think she really was trying to help. And that is, it was completely counterproductive because like, the actress just felt objectified, just felt viewed.
Yeah.
Instead of like,
Someone's actually looking at me in that way.
Yeah.
You just pretend I've got my clothes on. Can everyone just pretend I've got my clothes on? Yeah. No, I get that. And that was the default position as well on other things I've done where it's like, no, you look amazing. You look great. You look so, and they're trying to help.
Yeah.
But actually, it just makes you feel kind of, I don't know. It doesn't help. Put it that way. It doesn't help because it just makes you even more hyper aware of the fact that you didn't have clothes on.
Yeah.
And I got to see that body. Your boots are so. No. Yeah. Just so that, so I guess language as well, right? Like part of what you're doing is you're creating a language for people as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super helpful.
It is. Really helpful. So should we head to the questions that we typically always ask? Is there a movie or a scene or a TV scene that you find incredibly sensual, sexy, well done,
made an impression on you? You know, just what's one that like,
so there is one that made a huge impression on me. Jane Campion in The Cut. So I watched it. I mean, I must have been, it was probably about 20 years ago that I watched it. And I was completely, I don't even think I was particularly aware that it was Jane Campion or even that should make a difference. But there was the sex in that, I could tell it was not like other films I'd watched. And that when I put two and two together, that this is what a woman shooting a sex scene looks like. Mm. It looks different. I couldn't even necessarily put my finger on why, but it just, and when I was just, I was doing a little bit of research, I was like, maybe I can see the scene again. And so I put it in and I was horrified to have sort of all sorts of things about Meg Ryan and just awful stuff from those terrible sites where one finds oneself after you've done a nude scene. But just talking about how explicit it was, because I don't even remember it as being radically explicit. I just remember it being incredibly sexy and different, which I was so thrilled to kind of attach to this idea that it was because it was a female director and a female writer. I think it was based on a book, actually, but she would have done the adaptation. Yeah, so that I don't even have to think about that as my answer to that one, because since then I've looked out for the differences in that gaze of the camera from a male perspective or a female perspective, and even an English perspective or an American perspective. Things are filmed differently depending on the director. I had an English director when I did my, not anything wrong with American directors, but I had an English director directing me in my really big scene on Black Sails, and he was just so lovely. Just really kind of just there. Yeah.
It's very interesting. Mm. Wow. I'm going to have to look out. I don't think I had noticed when I worked with British directors, but now I'm going to pay attention and see if they're
just in the way that women are shot and human beings, just generally. Yeah. It's not, there isn't that sense of being slightly removed and objectifying.
Yeah.
There's something about it.
Well, there's something to be said culturally about the sensuality of sexuality and the intimacy of it and the humanity of it that you find in a lot of parts of Europe and other parts of the culture, where here in the States, you have so much dogma and
hang-ups around cleavage or any part of the body being shown.
Or someone desiring pleasure, especially women desiring pleasure and what that means, rather than it's
natural.
The shame that's attached to it is more pronounced here.
No, I do think I know what you mean, in that I do think sometimes people come through an American kind of film approach, it's like too much focused on sort of like skin and like nudity, and like what really sells a sex scene is desire. Like that's what makes a scene hot to an audience, because desire is reflected. If you see an actor act desire,
absolutely,
an audience feels that. They don't even know that's why they're feeling that, but like that's what they feel. Like I always find it fascinating, some people remember sex scenes so much more nudity than they actually are, because it registered as hot to them.
Yeah. So they filled it in.
They fill it in. But that's what they're feeling. They're feeling that like intense desire that the actors are acting out. And that is always what sells a sex scene. A cold sex scene with nudity. And obviously that can be a storytelling approach. It's like you need it to be a cold sex scene. But if it's not a deliberate choice, it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, stories are created with tension and conflict, right? Yeah. So whether it's a conflict within themselves about should I give in to this or shouldn't I or whatever, that's where it's sexy. The story is created in the push and pull, not just the kind of let's take it all off and go for it. Yeah.
You said something briefly that I wanted to circle back on, which is you talked about how once the scene is kind of out there, it ends up on sort of sites. And I did kind of want to follow up on that with like, as an actor and even as an intimacy coordinator, once it's out, we don't have control of what happens to it. Like you can only control it until it's to the general population. So like, how is that?
It's, well, I'll say two things. I'll say the one thing is that it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you meet someone, a new parent at your new school, and they say, "So, what do you do?" And you're like, "No, I'm an actor." And they're like, "Oh, have you been in anything I would remember?" And then you want to say what you've been in, and then you know that there's gonna be, they're gonna see it, or when they say, "Oh, I watched it, I saw you," and then you're like, "Oh, great!" You're like, "Oh my god!" So there's that aspect of it, and that's just watching the show, right? Yeah. So that's in context. But people Google other people all the time without necessarily seeing a show. So there's that side of it, which is Yeah. I mean, I don't know how one controls that. I guess you just let it go. I guess you just, and it may well be a reason that people choose not to do those kinds of scenes, or people are going to need to get a whole lot more creative about how they shoot sex scenes, you know, that they're not, they don't, you know, no one needs to take their clothes off. Yeah. And then there's the really sad side of it, which is maybe, maybe you could edit this out if I decide that it's not, I don't want to reveal as much about myself, but I think there's a, you know, when I was a young actress, there's kind of this race, or there's an unspoken pressure and reward in being desired. Mm-hmm. So whether that's making the top 10 hottest list, or being asked to do an FHM magazine cover, or it's like you are desired, like you are desirable. And I don't know, I would hope that young women now feel that less, but I think it was very much part of the kind of the patriarchal society that we grew up in, and that women's worth was about how they looked and how appealing they were to men, how whether they were given the nod, given the, yeah, they were told they were sexy. So being on those sites, there was a time when it was like, it was kind of like, oh, well, I'm there because they think I'm hot, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so messed up.
Yeah.
And they don't, yeah, there's no real value in that. Although maybe there is. I mean, maybe there's still so much about our society that, like, if you are a girl who's, you know, been in magazines taking your clothes off, someone is going to put you in their TV show or put you on there because you show yourself on Instagram in your bikini and you've got, I mean, you've got lots of followers, and so we will put you in our TV show. I don't know. I mean, and that's obviously, is it opens up a whole other aspect of this industry and women in it. But I think that setup, that thing of these are who are the hottest, you know, hottest sex scenes, it's set up to make you feel like you want to be included, but at the same time, it's appalling to be included. Mm-hmm. So that's the very candid answer.
Thank you so much. That was really, really enlightening. And thank you so much for sharing that. If you want us to take it out, please just let us know, and we will.
Well, you let me know if you think it sounds like, my God, she comes across as a complete sort of...
No, but it makes perfect sense, especially being a female in this industry, you know, or being anybody in this, or being objectified, having your desirability being marketed as value.
Yeah.
And that is harmful.
Yeah.
It's really harmful. And the more we as women support that, and it's, you know, it's like this race, you know, it's me against you.
It's a competition.
And it's destructive, and it's painful, and it's harmful.
And it means when you get to my age,
that's right,
and no one's asking you to do those scenes anymore, you're like, well, what do I have to offer? You know?
Yeah. Where is the value?
So it's definitely, I think, more and more, I think as for me, more and more as I get older, it's calls into question, what do I bring? You know, what?
And I think that points to like a bigger existential question about our internal radiance and value and that light that we all have.
Yeah.
And, you know, how as women or female gendered humans, how do we support each other in the value of just being our light regardless of the external?
Yeah.
I feel
circumstances
like,
and situation.
Unfortunately, girls feel it now more than they even did before because of social media. That like it used to be, you know, like if you were an actress, if you were some, you know, that there was this sense of like,
yeah, you, that's your career. That's
and now I feel like there is this pressure I see from people who are younger than me, and because of social media, that like everyone should be like that. That, you know, you should be getting Botox if you're 22 so you don't get wrinkles in 20 years. And it really bums me out.
Even if you're studying to be a lawyer.
Yeah, like there's just this feeling of like, that is the bare minimum now. What used to be like, that was your job. And I think it's really sad. And I hope some of them listen to this and hear from your perspective, because I think when you put that pressure on yourself and that's the only value you feel like you have, that leads to a life that is not very happy and then gets emptier the older you get.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really heartened by actresses like Florence Pugh, who does not fit that sort of mold, and is so comfortable in her skin.
Yeah.
And even someone like Emma Stone, who is just kind of, you know, she's so real. And
yeah.
I think there are a lot of younger actresses who take very seriously the impact that social media is having. And they've taken it on, you know.
Yeah. No, it's pretty devastating. Yeah. And, you know, coming back to center and finding that grounding and finding the space where you can be who you're meant to be, regardless of external.
And so if we bring it back to the kind of the intimacy coordinator, mm-hmm. the actress-actor relationship, it's about saying, what do you feel you can bring to the scene? Like, what is the scene really about? Mm-hmm. And what, so that you feel as an actor that what you're bringing is not just the fact that, you know, your bum's going to look good or, you know, your boobs are the right size or whatever, that you actually, that it's about something beyond that. Mm-hmm. We'll take care of all of that stuff, but then you can just tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That seems like a great thing to aim towards.
I agree. Maybe that's a good place to stop.
Yes. Thank you so much.
This was amazing.
Sure. Do you have anything you want to plug or social media you want to put out there for our followers?
No. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on all social media platforms at Romancing the Screen Pod or email us at romancingthescreenpod@gmail.com.